Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to What Women Want with Amy and Ash. Hello, and welcome to the show, where I and some great comedians look at the misadventures, misunderstandings, and misogyny involved in being a woman. Consider this your podcast equivalent to the bond of trust between two neighbors who hear each other's darkest secrets, but say nothing more to each other than a cursory good morning. In this episode, we are looking at what women want is to be brave. We recorded this show in May this year, the year of our dog, 2019, at my favourite place in the world, Machynlleth Comedy Festival. I'm joined by some real legends, Helen Bauer, Kat Bond, and Gabriel Aboulé. Let's join them now to find out what women want.
Please, take a seat. So each show we have a different topic, and today we're going to talk about what women want is to be brave. This is in part because I rewatched the movie Brave. Oh, love that show. It's so fun. I mean, when you talk about the plot, if you haven't seen it, it's a Disney Pixar movie. It's like the updated princesses. The plot of it is that she turns her mother into a bear. And like, I was explaining that to my friend, and she was like, what? And I was like, yeah, it's kind of a story of mother-daughter relationships where a daughter doesn't want to get married so much that she casts a spell and the spell turns her mother into a bear. You know, I wish sometimes I could turn my mother into a bear. Nice lady. My mother is very feminist, like she proudly so, but she is definitely of a different generation, only in so much as she fought very hard to be taken seriously, and I clearly don't. I just let it roll over. But she said this thing that I knew she meant as a compliment, but it wasn't a compliment. What she said was, what I love about your generation is that you don't care about being attractive. It was like the thing that every mother says to their daughter, but couched in political theory. It was really good. I was like, I can't come back to this. But also what she meant was that as a woman in like a career in the 70s, she wanted to strive for things, but she felt she had to give up. She had to look a certain way. She couldn't be unattractive. She had to be ladylike. She had to make sure that people liked her so that she could get forward. And I think it's kind of exciting thing that we might feel like we no longer have to do that. So the format of the show, before we get into it, is that I'm going to sort of speak to the topic, and then each of my guests is going to speak to the topic. Then I have some questions for them. And then at the end, I have a fun question for you. Yes, oh my God, you're so responsive, I'm so happy. Delicious. You're a chef's kiss of an audience. Lovely. And then that's it, and we'll be done. Guys, we'll be back in the sun. You'll forget this ever happened. It'll be great. It'll be fantastic. So, when I heard that the topic was what women want is to be brave, I was thinking a lot about the film that I'd just seen. Great film. But I was also thinking about the nature of the idea that being feminist or being anything that is like out of the norm is inherently brave, that you have to be, that there's an element of bravery to it. And I kind of like that because I think the word brave has almost completely positive connotations. And I actually think there's often different words beginning with B that we use for women who are powerful and they are more like bossy and bitchy. And I like the idea of being like, I'm very, like saying you're brave when you like no, I'm not going to move out of your way. I'm brave. I'm Braveheart over here. You know, I have this obsession with this idea that you're meant to, like, look a certain way. And I read this article about these women who were talking about the fact that all they wanted to do was be normal. Like, they didn't want to be radical. But the fact is, because they looked a certain way, because they didn't fit society's norms, they had become accidentally radicalized. And so then they felt they had used this to make that whenever they felt uncomfortable, they decided that they were being brave rather than that they were being embarrassed or they were being scared. So it was a really interesting thing about sort of living with vulnerability. Basically, what I'm saying is I'm eating more bread in public. I'm having second bowls of bread on the regs. I'm like, bring the salted butter, please. And I'm doing it for the sisterhood. But I like that. I like the idea that, and this is in some ways one of the worst things I'll ever say, but like, I do sometimes wonder if I've constructed a version of feminism where I get to do exactly what I want and get so much credit for it. It's like, no, not shaving my legs. For feminism. Not because razors are weirdly expensive. You know, like, I sometimes wonder, like, you know, how much have I just... I'm obsessed with, like, these respect rituals that we do. Like, the inherent, like, you know, I went to a wedding the other day, and I was like, oh, I've got to remove all my body hair and dye my mustache. And I was like, there's so much admin, but I've got to do it because I really like the couple getting married. So I've got to let them know I like them. Mustache is blonde. So it's like this weird thing. I was like, oh, the respect ritual is begun. So is that brave of me to, like, think about that and sort of deconstruct it? Probably not. Like, in some ways, I'm getting exactly what I want, which is, like, a lot less personal admin. But in some ways, it is an inherently brave thing to be feminist and to sort of push against the norm. I think that's the truth. And I do wonder, I want us to talk about it. I'm thinking so much about my own, like, personal heroes and who I love. And so often they put themselves out of their way to, like, they put themselves in danger or in sort of the sense of the public pushing back against them. So I want to talk about our personal heroes, and I'm so excited to hear what you guys think. So, Kat, please, let me know what you thought when you heard the topic was brave.
I actually, because you said there's no, I'm just going to disagree with you straight away. Is that all right?
No.
I think it's a really good way to go when you're 5 minutes into an hour. When you said that brave's only sort of positive connotations, I've just got loads of, it made me think of my family just being like, you are so brave, in terms of, like, doing comedy stuff or wearing this combination of colours and stuff like that. So it's just like, it made me think of people saying you're brave is sometimes to me is another way of saying you're weird, or you're, why are you doing that? Or I would never make that decision. but maybe I've just put a really negative spin on it. But I like the idea of being brave. I think brave can be addictive, as in, once you've started, it's really difficult to go back. Like, once you've started something...
It feels like I've been plotting something awful.
So that was kind of my initial response, and it was weird that it was actually quite quite negative, because it just felt like it was a term that was used, when it's like, oh, my God, what are you doing? So it's a way to say something else, maybe used in a sort of way that there's a subtext to that. But I did look into the film Brave as well, did some heavy research.
I do know it from experience, if you Google feminism and brave, it's all that comes up.
It's like the first thing. Really, really good film. But it just, the main thing that stuck out was it was just about consent rather than the bear. But maybe I just didn't read far enough down. And what was the other question? Oh, that was there one.
It was just generally about adventuring, because that was one version.
Adventuring. Yeah, I think adventuring made me think about being out of your comfort zone, not just getting your walking shoes on and a backpack. Coming out of your comfort zone, and I feel like you can be. I'm sort of adventurous in my family just because I've done something different to them.
In what way?
Just being self-employed was like a difference, or like going to uni. Everything feels adventurous. So everything I do in my family feels adventurous, even though I think I'm quite boring and safe. So it's just in relation to kind of.
And do you find that scary or sort of liberating?
It's scary, and I like constantly am questioning whether it's the right thing, and I don't think it is the right thing, but I just carry on doing it anyway.
I think that might be bravery. Gabriel?
I think the first person I thought about was my mum. Because she's a woman, and and she's brave. I think with women, because, like, everything women do is scrutinized. So I feel like they have more room to be brave, but they don't get credit for it. Mm. So with men, like, we're just like here and we get credit for just being there. Whereas like a woman, like, for perfect example is in the industry, like, women are often, you know, if there's conversations had about women, sometimes they'll say, oh, she's difficult, right? And sometimes I, you know, at a certain stage of my life, I'll just take that for face value and be like, okay, she is.
Yeah.
But really what that would mean is she just said, oh, I want it this way. And so then she becomes difficult. That's her, and that's her being brave. So there's little things that women do that are massively brave. And what we do, like, you know, isn't, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's just, I feel like it's every day for you guys. Whereas for us, we get the credit for, like, you know, going to burning buildings and shit. But, like, you know, being, like, quote-unquote difficult, I think is, like, harder than that.
Now that you sort of are sort of self-aware enough that when someone says that someone's difficult or crazy, I think is another word often used, like, does that make you think about the person saying it, and do you check your sources more?
Yeah, I mean, it depends who's saying it. I mean, yeah, I just think, I just sort of see it as I'll have my experience. I won't just take it as, you know, what you say. Because, you know, I'm sure, you know, someone just asking for a cup of tea.
Yeah.
Then people get their backs up and it's like, it's normal, you know?
Mm.
It's regular.
I think checking your sources and having a sense that, like, things might not be exactly as people are telling you, even in your own brain, is probably one of the better things about sort of reframing the context about, and feminism as part of that.
Yeah.
So, like, just understanding that just because you've been told all your life one thing, that is just as much of an opinion as in your own head. Helen, when you heard about bravery, what did you think?
I think it's brave that I gave you a sip of my water and you've nearly finished the bottle.
Did everyone else assume she was just going to pass it back? And it's like, no, just go for it. Like, no. I got, like, you know,
I thought it was a gift.
No, it wasn't. Yeah. I'm super fucking bitchy. number one, I think it's also very brave that you're here on a podcast called What Women Want as well, Gabriel. So big round of applause. No, it is. Like, seriously.
Really,
like,
no, that's exactly what Gabriel was just saying.
Oh, and that's the point.
That was my whole point, yes.
I think everyone's brave in their own respects. Yeah. Like, it depends on, like, I think I was brave because in, like, year 8 at school when you're 12, I introduced Dazzle Dust. You know Barry M. Dazzle Dust? The bright green one.
Oh.
And we weren't supposed to wear makeup and I went in with it. Do you still wear Dazzle Dust? No, but you used to wear it. Yeah, it's the best, isn't it? And it's like, that's
Is it eyeshadow?
Oh, it's like more than eyeshadow.
Okay.
It's eyeshadow, glitter, and it just goes everywhere and it really makes your eyes pop. And it was that phase where it's like you put the colour all around the eye. So I went for, like, green, like infected.
Like a panda.
Yeah, like a panda, okay. Or also like a bruise, you know,
yeah,
like
sure.
What happened at home? But I wore that and we weren't supposed to, and I thought that was quite brave because it's like you're doing something that's going to stand out, and particularly at that age when you're like at secondary school, everything you do is terrifying, so you just need to fit in.
Yeah.
So, like, I think that's your first introduction to bravery for everyone, isn't it? Like,
yeah.
Speaking up for yourself or, like, doing what you want to do. Like, it wasn't brave, I was doing it for attention.
Sure.
But, like, looking back on it now, yeah. I'm like, wow, you really took a step there.
Do you think bravery often comes from sort of ulterior motives, like wanting attention?
For me, it does. I don't think for everyone. I think a lot of people do it for themselves or just sort of like to challenge themselves. But I think I'm from a nice town in northeast Hampshire. There hasn't been many, like, yeah. So it's just sort of like bravery would just be the little things, like not wearing a bra out, but having a cracking rack, you know, stuff
sure.
like that.
Sure, sure, sure.
That's tricky. I'm a 38G, not wearing a bra. That's do you know what I mean?
Like, yeah, that's brave.
Well, thank you.
Well, that must hurt.
It does.
Yeah.
That's why it's brave.
But I deal with it. Yeah.
Thank you, everybody. Let's give a question. That's for you.
Thank you.
So the first question I wanted to ask is, like, do you consider yourself brave, Gabriel?
No.
No.
Because I get told a lot as a comic that I'm black. I once did a gig and a nurse who went to the Sudan came up to me after and said, "You're so brave." And I was like, do you know what you do? I just go on stage and tell dick jokes. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's not that brave. So I don't consider myself brave. Like, I've got a lot of, like, anxiety. So, like, doing stand-up, I is brave in the way, but I don't take credit for that, you know? So I don't think I am brave. I don't really do anything that sort of is, but yes, no.
Yesterday in your set, you were talking about that you want to be woke, but also you want to take naps. I mean, sorry, I've stolen the joke and I've not done it well.
Oh, yeah. So it's just me ignoring politics because it's fucking everywhere and it's annoying.
Mm.
And, like, I used to be very politically engaged, and now it's at a stage where it's like, you know, every day I'm on Twitter, like something awful's happened and I just don't want to read it anymore. So that's just me avoiding everything in the universe, which isn't brave, you know. So that's like, so no, I'm not brave at all.
And would you want to be considered brave? Like, would that be something you'd want?
I don't think so. I mean, what'd you get out of it? Like, it's...
Medals.
Yeah, but then I always think, yeah, you do get medal, but then it's like, after that, it's like, you know, like, firemen are amazing, but like, I'm gonna finish that thought, but it's just, I don't know. I don't think I'd want to be considered brave.
That's so interesting, because I feel like all I want is for people to think I'm brave.
But why, though? What do you think you get out of that?
Blue Peter badges and stuff, yeah.
Free candy. I don't know. I haven't thought it through. Kat, would you want to be considered brave, or do you think you are brave?
No, I feel the same as Gabriel. I don't think I want to be brave. I don't want other people to think I'm brave. I just want myself to know I'm brave. Everyone starts crying. She's so sad. Now, there's like tiny little things that I know are difficult for me, and when I sort of overcome them or manage to do them on the odd occasion, I'm just like, oh, well done, you stuck it out, like going to a party. Yeah. that's literally it. Yeah. So, yeah, there's like little acts of... but I don't even think of them as brave, just like keep going, like you should be there anyway. But, yeah, similar thing.
Would you want to be considered brave? Well, it sounds like...
Yeah, maybe... Because I think people often would think I'm a cautious person, so, yeah, I think I probably would.
So interesting, because when I think about like bravery, I'm thinking much more like broad terms,
right? Like battle, like a battle.
Yeah, like I want a statue one day.
I want a statue.
Yeah.
Okay, should have said that. I want a fucking statue. Yeah.
I want a statue. Should we get ours together?
We should get a statue together.
Just hugging.
Yeah. Because if it, in that, I mean, I would like. I do have an ego. Like I want a statue. But
sure.
Yeah.
I think I maybe this is revealing about me, but I think I do conflate a lot of things with ego. Who's surprised? Here we are in a dark room with microphones. Helen, are you brave?
I want people to think I'm brave. I don't think I am brave. No, like moments. I think everyone's had moments of bravery, but you just sort of pretend that they're like, you'll be brave and people go like, oh, so brave. And you're like, no, it's nothing. But then when you do something that's brave and no one notices, you're like, fucking pay attention.
Yeah.
I just did something amazing.
Yeah, so I guess bravery is both an internal thing, but it's also often comes about, it's about other people, other opinions of you. Mm-hmm. Like most people are only considered brave by other people. I wouldn't introduce myself in three words and brave be one of them. Sassy, brave. Yeah.
I mean that, brave.
Brave. Okay,
it's only looking back on childhood things where you go, oh, that was brave.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's necessarily the impetus to do those things isn't... Mm. Out of a sense of I want to be brave.
It's not men called Jack who are going bungee jumping in New Zealand and they got Pierre. Like, that's not brave.
No.
Like,
yeah. I thought you were saying that was brave and I was like, Helen, no.
No.
To not do that is brave.
Yeah, to say I don't want to do it.
I want to read a book. Yeah, I'm going to go and get a coffee.
Statue.
I think this is interesting. Yes. Please.
Statue.
I make my own statue.
I think it's interesting because I think like the everyday nature of sort of feminism, but any other ism where you're sort of pushing back against what you see is going wrong in the world, the everyday nature of it is often where the best stuff comes from or the scariest stuff comes from. Do you think, like, I was wondering if being feminist makes you brave, or do you need bravery to like make it work like batteries in a toy?
It's both. I think being a woman and being feminist is brave because like for one, like, because I've met women who aren't feminists. So as a woman, if you feel alone anyway, then other women aren't feminists, then you're like, you feel super alone. Mm-hmm. And everyone's like, you know, for some reason people, like men think that's not a good thing that you want equal rights. Mm. That's fucking weird. So it is brave to, it's stupid. It sounds stupid if you just say that we want to be treated the same, but it is brave to like stand on a perch and be out and say it, you know? Yeah,
I think it's often because that's not, you might be saying equal rights, but they're like, but I like it unequal. Like I'm doing real well from it being unequal. Mm. And in some ways people think of rights as being a zero sum game. Like if I gain some, you will lose some.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, often there's aspects of feminism where that is probably true. Like, you will lose the ability to touch all your secretary's butts. Like, that will go, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, in the main, I agree, it is asking for a sort of social, economic and political equality, which doesn't feel like too much of an ask, but we have seen in history. It is.
It's massive, yeah,
it really is. But I'm interested because I think being a feminist, or, like, even having any thought in your brain that, like, this is not exactly how things should be, a bit like you talking about how you sometimes want to turn off the news, can be, like, exhausting. Yeah. Can be really tiring in some ways. It's so much easier if you can just sort of sit within the path well trodden. But obviously it's less satisfying, and often you get your butt touched by your boss. So it's not great. But, it's an easier aspect to it. So maybe we're going to say the word brave so much that you guys are going to hate, you're not ever going to hear it again. But, like, I do think there's a sort of strength in, like, holding yourself to a course that feels right for you. Mm-hmm. You know, I've stopped taking notes at work. That's good for me. I don't want to type them up. Do I know what I'm doing? No. Got no idea. Got no idea. Freer than I've ever been. Got nothing to do. I'm so glad of it. But I do think putting boundaries up is quite brave. And, like, boundary putting up is something that people often talk about in terms of, it sounds quite self-carey. And I know sometimes self-care equals, like, lush bath bombs. I do understand. And they are great, of course. Except I don't quite understand the sort of the joy of submerging yourself in gunk. Like, I haven't, that aspect of my femininity hasn't quite emerged yet, but I'm expecting it will with age. At one point, I'm just going to be covered in bath bombs and be like, this is 40. It's going to be great. Oh, I love it. But I do think there's a sort of strength in putting boundaries down, and that can be as small as just saying, like, no to things you don't want to do, and, like prioritizing yourself. Do you, as you know, as freelancers, as self-employed people, that's obviously something that becomes a bit more codified than if you're in an office and the kind of things you're expected to do and not necessarily get the credit for. Do you have any sort of tips and tricks about putting down boundaries and saying no to things?
I actually still have a job, so
how
are
you doing?
I'm doing really well. I work part time in a bakery serving bread. So
nice. Yeah.
So I'm properly.
That's a rom com job.
It's fucking amazing. You've got no idea.
You were going to marry a billionaire.
I was anorexic 2 years ago, and now look at me. Just so much bread, and that's what I do. So I don't. I'm not like self employed. So.
But that's okay. I'd be interested in more in any ways, much more than these chumps, you know.
Yeah, fuck you guys. I'm going to statue here. Right.
Do you have any tips and tricks? Like, do you feel like there are ways in which you've learned to say no to things?
I think I've got better at looking at where the job is and if I can actually get there. But it is that thing of, like, because I started like, this is a really easy location to get to, McClunkleth, so that was absolutely fine. I don't know. I sort of, like, because I started, I'm not like that old in comedy, so it'll be 4 years this year, but, like, I think you say yes to everything when you start, and then you slowly start realizing, like, I can't do that. Like, they want you to do, like, some of the things that come through, like, weird, weird offers where it's like, do you want to come and, like, entertain my children at their birthday party? And it's like, what, with my bleeding cunt jokes? Like, no. Like, I mean, I'll do it, but, like, it's like, it's on you, like, pay first. Yeah. But yeah. I think you do start, like, the longer you're going, because I'm on eating berries, kids. No, it's like, I don't know. I think you start realizing as well that, like, your worth as a comic and, like, how much you should be getting paid. Because at the beginning, like, just getting paid, like, a free drink is like, oh my God, holy shit, this is amazing.
Yeah.
And then you start realizing, like, oh shit, no, but this is a job and I have worked a lot to, like, do this. And it's like, no, I do need, like, I mean, you're not paying us today.
No,
but,
no,
like,
no.
Yeah. We did get that water.
Yeah. Well, yeah. There's a tap.
Okay. Well, yeah, help yourself. But I don't know. I think I'm still figuring that out, to be honest, as to, like, what I can say no and yes to, because I feel like every time I'm offered something, I'm like, 100% yes, like, you're offering me something. So I've just come out the phase of, like, asking for my gigs, and now they're being offered. So it's like, yeah. I mean, you've been going longer, so, like...
Yeah. 70 years. My instinct is always to say yes.
Yeah.
Instinct is always say yes. And I find it really difficult to make decisions. So I've started just pooling out my questions to other people, like friends. I've got like a WhatsApp group, and then just get them to give me the answers or whether I should do that. Only because I haven't got a sense. It's also about like how much you value yourself. And if sometimes you're a bit down on yourself, you're making decisions without all the information or with the wrong information. So in terms of like asking for certain amounts of money or like how much that time is worth, like I'm still struggling, but I tend to just, I'm asking maybe comics or people who are in similar positions just to try and to figure it out. And something I'm trying to work out is just to try and find that in myself in terms of, oh, I just know that, like, instinctively, I'm always going to say £700. Like, whatever it is. And also, I do children's birthday
Shut
parties.
Up.
Yeah. Always get asked to do them, but like I've been asked to do them from people in comedy.
You're not doing like cunt stuff, are you? You're like doing
mainly that. And just
Brighton's a fun place.
Yeah, Willy Modlin Boons. Just also, I'm just intrigued about like status and saying no and the bravery and just like what that gives off without being like like crazy and being like, what am I presenting? It's like, no, really think about those decisions and time and energy. It's like, doing this for 70 years, I'm tired now.
But I think that's why I'm so interested in talking to people who are freelance, like comedians, part of that, because there's like a, perhaps more of a codification of your worth. Like people are like, this is the amount of time, what money do you want? That when you work in an office job or a more traditional job, you are doing exactly the same thing, but there's just more structure in place to disguise the maths, basically. And it's so hard to value yourself. It's so, especially I think for British people, like I was talking to an American comic and I was doing the classic British self-deprecation. You know, I was like, oh, I'm not very good. And she was like, oh. And I was like, no, I'm great. I'm like, what? I don't know what to do. And I was like, oh shit, how do I get back from this? Because once you said you're bad, you can't now say you're good. It doesn't, no one believes you. And so there's that kind of like American like super positivity, which can sometimes great, but at least, you know, they probably get paid more than us. You know, that there's, and I think on the smallest level, this is a kind of conversation. Part of the reason I wanted to do the show, I feel like I'm always having conversations with my friends and my family, which are the conversations that sort of change me. They're the information gathering sessions that sort of like influence the rest of my life, rather than necessarily the sort of female conversations that you see on TV or in film. And I felt like I was having these conversations, but I wasn't seeing them sort of represented. So that's why we started doing the show, just to sort of platform these conversations. And so the idea is, it is a conversation, and you should feel like it is. My dream is that afterwards, I walk out and you're talking about like that one time that you got stiff for 20 quid on a gig. You're all comedians in my mind. And that the conversation keeps going, because the idea of these shows is that we're having these conversations and they are important and you should value them and yourselves because you're all great. Say it with me. I'm great in American accent. 1, 2, 3. I'm great. It's quite fun, isn't it? Because you've never said it out loud before, I bet.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So the one thing I wanted to talk to you as well about is about language. I was talking about how brave is used in cat. You were talking about how it's not always positive for you. How do you think we talk normally about women who are... I feel like we look at radicals of the past and we call them brave now, but they were definitely called criminals then. Like, they were definitely criminals then. I think we are living in a time where we were talking the other day about with the suffragettes, guys, I'm such a feminist. Talking about the suffragettes, and we were thinking, we were like, oh, yeah, so great that they did that. And then we were like, ooh, what are we doing? Because I've got a quite high Instagram following, 1,000. And like, I'm putting a lot of energy into that. And I was like, I don't think Emily Pankhurst would love me, is what I'm trying to say.
Oh, she would. I mean, thank you, Helen. Don't say that about yourself. Yeah.
Thank you. No,
she'd
very
love you.
I'm sassy. I'm brave.
You're fun.
I'm so brave. Yeah, I think so. And like words like crazy, I think we use quite a lot. I think often for women of colour, they're called angry. Like this word angry is a synonym for brave, or like rather it's a negative word version of brave. Who else do we talk about in these terms?
Malala. Yes.
Sorry, it feels like it was a pop quiz, and like
we were like, "Well, did I get it right?"
Say it, you say it,
Amy and Nat, your
yeah.
bro.
Yeah. Feel like someone in the back is gonna be like Maya Angelou. No, I just mean I feel like we use words like crazy, yeah. Bitch, bossy.
Cheryl Cole. Yeah.
Not looking for specific women. Oh, okay. But we can talk about Cheryl Crow.
Sorry, my bad.
Yeah, that Cheryl was the answer I was looking for.
Yeah,
twist. Do you know that Cheryl Crow once said in a magazine that when you go to the loo, one square is enough, two in an emergency?
What?
I read that maybe 10 years ago and I cannot get it out of my head. often when I'm in the loo, I'm like, Cheryl, what would
one
you do in
square?
This situation?
How big were a square?
You would be in trouble. It's so bad.
Whew. I was definitely the bossy girl at school, even though there were boys that did the same like amount of sort of like organising. Like, I was one of those kids, sort of like I was like form rep and like organised like things that we did at the weekends with my friends, sort of a thing. And it was like, oh, Helen's so bossy.
Yeah.
Instead of being assertive, and that's something I didn't realise until I was older. But I also use it to describe myself, because at the end of yearbook, I described myself as bossy, blonde, and brill were my three words. Brill, yeah, cute. So, like, I think I was fine with it, but now I realise, like, now it's annoying. Like, yeah. I'm just sort of like, no, because that's a double standard. Mm. And it is frustrating because it's not bossy. I'm just very loud and confident, which I see as a positive.
Yeah. But I like that it feels like you even owned it at the time. Rather
I think
than
I was too thick to realise.
Sure.
Like, yeah. You know, people say, like, at school you were either bullied or you did bully someone. And I was like, no, I came out unscathed. And all my adult friends are like, no, you definitely were bullied. You just missed it. Everyone's like, there's Helen again. Fuck you, Helen. And I'm like, okay, see you at lunch.
I think that's the dream situation.
No, it's not. I'm like, oh, she's so sick. I'm in my backpack. Like, oh, see you all the weekends. I'll be organising. Bossy Helen. Devastating.
That's funny. Oh, Gabriel, has there ever been like a word like bossy that has been applied to you that you've been to be like, that's not right?
I've definitely had the crazy thing. And you talking about like, when someone says it about someone else, like when I've had male and female friends say that their ex was crazy, I do check in with that, and you're kind of like sussing out what that situation has been. So I think that's like kind of, oh, people go there quite quick, you know, it gets there quite quickly that she's crazy. It's
I've like, never heard
what,
a man
in what
be
way she cares
called crazy casually,
yeah,
in the way that I've definitely heard women be called crazy casually.
Yeah. If a man's called crazy, like he's literally like smearing shit
off
on the wall.
Nut.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
When a woman's called crazy, she's just like didn't text you back.
Yeah.
So it's weird. Yeah. For me, I think it's like I'm quite introverted, so I don't know if anyone here is quite introverted, but sometimes like if you go to like a party or something and you're just like scared of talking to people, you sort of leave to yourself. People think you're arrogant. So I think some people, I've had conversations with friends or like, why are you so arrogant? I'm like, no, I just don't want to talk to you. Which also sounds arrogant. But it's just like, no, like it makes me nervous. Go away.
Yeah.
So I get called arrogant sometimes, I think.
I think that is interesting, isn't it? Because I think often, so I did a video game show here at Mac yesterday, and that was such a scary thing for me to do because I'm not very good. And that, even just saying that now, I feel dead inside that I admitted that to people. But more than that, it was like it's such a male environment, video gaming. And I was doing it, and my friend said that afterwards she just heard a man, like a really proper adult, just go, she is awful. He was like a 1994 Japanese bubble game, but he cared. He cared so much. But like, it's weird to put yourself in a situation. I think that is exactly the thing when people say you're brave to do stand-up. It's not like the actual getting on stage. It's the idea that you would be vulnerable to people having an opinion on you. Yeah. Because if you think about it, you would never leave the house. Because it is such a... She told me as a joke, and I was like...
Thanks for the feedback.
Yeah, horrible feedback. I was like, very good. But that is, I think, when people say, I believe when people say you're brave to get on stage, it's not just the actuality of like looking at people looking back at you. It's the idea that you're making yourself vulnerable. And I think vulnerability is a big part of bravery. And also think vulnerability is like a key part of feminism, because I think we're in this weird version of feminism now where you have to be perfect. So you're going for... You're going for the best at all times, and you're always achieving the best, because if you don't, then you're letting down your entire gender. Mm-hmm. And so bravery rather than perfectionism is the name of a book that I have seen is available online to buy. And I think it's an interesting point about, like, are we allowed to be vulnerable? Like, do we always have to be perfect? Is that something that affects you?
I think that's the most brave thing you can do, is be vulnerable. Like, it's weird because I'm talking about it in my show this year, but it's like, I think vulnerability for me is the ultimate level of bravery, to like go to someone and actually be honest and vulnerable with them and not make a joke with it. Because like, I can do it, but I hide it behind like a million levels of humor, like same as probably most people in this room do. And then you pick people slowly that you sort of come out your shell with and you be vulnerable with. But it just takes one person for you to be vulnerable around and them sort of reject it, for you just to like hide up in your shell and just put your wall back up again. But vulnerability is the ultimate level of braveness. Like, I think, because a lot of people do talk about their mental health problems on stage and anxiety and like insecurities, and that is so brave. And people like make a joke about it, and I've been like, oh, like another mental health show. And it's like, yeah, because it's still a fucking massive problem. Yeah. And people like aren't getting the help they need, even though I've got some lovely beta blockers in my bag, which will help you out for a party later, no stress. But seriously, like, we'll load you up. You'll be the talk of the town. But yeah, vulnerability is just like, it is a terrifying thing, because the idea that you're going to say something to someone and then not reciprocate it back or understand it, and then you're just going to feel more lonely.
Yeah.
But some people are amazing at doing it, and I think the more those amazing people that can be vulnerable do it, the more you're like, oh, actually, no one gives a fucking shit. Mm. Do you know what I mean? Like, no one's really that fussed about your mental health problems, because they've got their own.
Kat.
Amy.
Vulnerability. How does it make you feel?
Get vulnerable with me. I think that, yeah, I mean, I just feel like kind of constantly vulnerable. So if that's brave, build me a big statue. I feel like in terms of vulnerability, I feel like you get so much back if you are vulnerable with people, as in when you have those moments, like they're really special moments when you, with a friend or with a partner where you've sort of opened up to them, or someone you don't know, and something clicks. It's just like, okay, we can have a connection. And I think when you're, I think pretending you're vulnerable is dangerous, as in people telling people, like making up stories and stuff. I'm kind of intrigued by the amount of kind of autobiographical stories on stage, like last year in Edinburgh, and I was also in a play where people were using like a lot of their own material. I think it can be really dangerous if you're not looking after yourself.
Wait, what do you mean about pretending to be vulnerable? Like,
well, just kind of like, it's really hard, but just kind of like not making things up, but elaborating on things that have happened to them.
I was watching something on YouTube the other day, and it's that Gypsy Rose Blanchard girl, and her mum pretended she had. Yeah, oh my god, it's fucking addictive, that story. I know. And
those like are the two girls from your show earlier, aren't they?
Yeah,
I think you guys should be friends.
But like, it's like Munchausen's by proxy, and she like convinced herself her daughter was sick, and then like made her sick, sort of a thing, and sort of like created her world being like a problem. Is that what we're talking about? Or did I just take it really far?
Maybe you should make a show about that. That sounds so good.
Done.
I'll play your daughter.
Yes!
There is
You're ill.
All the IP created in this show is mine, but that's fine. Continue.
You can be in it too.
Yeah, work it out. I think co-opting of like vulnerability and co-opting of feminism is something that is definitely happening. And that's why I think the perfectionism comes in. So we've got this version of feminism now, which is like lean in, you know, it's like quite corporate. And it's instead of, it's like ask for a raise, but like don't ask why there are not more female CEOs. Like there's a way of people trying to be vulnerable and they can kind of own vulnerability. And it's like, yes, be vulnerable, but like do still come in at 9 a.m. tomorrow morning. And this is, and you know, and I do understand why people feel like that's a version of feminism that they can get behind, because it doesn't ask them to really look at their world too much. But I do think sometimes it can be dangerous. Like, I wonder sometimes if we've romanticized the idea of bravery in feminism. Like, we've made it be like, it's so great that like Emma Watson is being so brave. And you're like, yeah, but like women die all the time. Yeah. You know, like we have this like version of a sort of brave feminist, and we sort of don't want to look at the realities of the world.
I think it's also having, I was talking to Helen earlier about how if you've got a little bit more money, it's sometimes easier to be, yeah, or make brave choices. Mm-hmm. So with Emma Watson stuff, it's, I'm not saying what she's doing is wrong. I think it's great what she's doing, and she's raising awareness of that. But it's like, it's just sticking your neck out when you're in a more of a comfortable position.
Yeah.
And the reason why some of those women in those companies are like, okay, I've asked for a raise, but I'm not going to change the structure of this whole company, is genuinely out of a fear, I suppose, for personal gain. So it's still tricky, but
yeah.
I do think it's easier to make brave choices maybe if you've got a little bit more cash. I know that's quite obvious.
Sure it is.
Yeah. I think that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's the problem is when there's a movement and then a person becomes like the head of that movement and they sort of represent the whole thing, I think that's when it gets like murky waters, because it usually is like a rich person. Like, the Time's Up thing is brilliant, but like, you're all millionaires, so you can do that. But what about the person who's like in an office somewhere? Mm-hmm. And it's similar, like, you know, like P. Diddy, this is gonna be weird, right? But like, P. Diddy tweets these like motivational things, and it's amazing. Like, he's like, you know, wake up this morning, go, do it. I'm reading them, like, yeah, you live in a penthouse, you're a billionaire. Like, it's not that fucking easy for people. So I think it's just like trying to keep it grounded in reality and not see those people as like you.
Yeah.
More what they represent.
Well, that tiny acts of bravery we can do. It doesn't mean you have to stop doing something. It's just like, well, I've got, you know, I'm over my overdraft. But it's like, okay, yeah, there's still like little things you can do, like as in speak up in a room that's scary, or stop someone slagging someone off.
Yeah, and I feel like that is a really nice way of sort of rounding off the conversation, because we started talking about, are we brave and do we do brave things? But I think it's very hard to self-identify as brave, but it is worth sort of congratulating yourself and in that way helping yourself do it more. Do brave things like speaking out, checking when people say crazy. You have been so lovely. Thank you so much for joining us for this hour. See you next time. Goodbye.
So, are we any closer to finding out what women want? I don't know. I'm not a street magician. Thank you so much for listening. Please rate, subscribe, and share. It makes such a difference in my ongoing journey to top Mel Gibson when you Google what women want. Thanks to producer Zach Annette and to radio legend Sholo Aleje for her help. Music is by The Artisans via Jamendo Publishing. What Women Want is going to Edinburgh this year. We will be at the Pleasance for 6 dates only, Saturdays and Sundays, in August 2019. Go to the Pleasance website to get your tickets. The lineup is shaping up nicely, and I would love to see you there.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.